Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
The Lord is good. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 33. I want to talk to you today a little bit about being, everybody say being. Being a people of His presence. Being a people of His presence. You know, somebody, it's been a while, but it's been several years ago, someone asked me, I was just sharing Christ with them. And they asked me, the question, it came out, well, what's the big deal? What's the big deal about Christianity? What's the big deal about being a Christian? Now, you can answer that in a lot of different ways, but the truest answer, the one that's most fulfilling, is the presence of God. That's the one that's the most fulfilling. That's the big deal of being a Christian. That's the big deal of Christianity, is being in the presence of God and the presence of God being in you. Is that true? It really is. Now, there's a lot that comes with that. But without His presence, we've lost our way. So we want to make sure that we answer the questions that the world has about why do we do what we do, why do we act the way we do, and why do we go to church, why do we sing, why are we so happy? And some of us need to be happier. Is that true? It's true. You know, I started a long time ago. Somebody asked me, and this is years ago, are you doing okay? And it just hit me and just, no, I'm not doing okay. What's wrong? No, nothing. I'm doing great. You know, child of the King does not need to finalize everything with okay. We need to say we're great. Amen? We're great. We're great. We may be going through difficult times, but we're great. Amen? And it's because of His presence. It's because of who He is and His presence. But I've been really asking the Lord to stir our hearts to be able to, or not be able to, but to stir our hearts to challenge us to pursue the presence of God in a way like we've never done before. We're going to be talking about the different degrees or the levels of His presence. And most of us in the church have sort of settled with about two. But there's so many levels and degrees of His presence that we really need to acknowledge and recognize. But our greatest treasure that we have in our entire life is the presence of God. That's our greatest treasure. And we need to be able to see His presence and to understand His presence in new dimensions. Everybody say new dimensions. How many of you know that as Christians, we should learn, we should be taught, we should be discipled, we should learn the things of the Bible, the things of the Word, and the things about His presence, that and not take things for granted. Amen? But we need to be so in pursuit of it that we won't settle for anything else. We can have a meeting in here. We can have a lot of different things going on. But without His presence, all we've done is had a meeting. True? Without His presence, without him doing what He does, we're just meeting. I don't think we have time for meetings any longer. I think this world is so rapidly in going where God said it was going to go to begin with. But yet He's told the church that we have a job to do. But we cannot do it without His presence. We won't be able to do it without His power. And I don't want us to be a church that has no power. Power to heal. Power to deliver. It's not us. It's Him. But if we don't allow him to do that, then we're at a place of saying, okay, we're just having a meeting. We're just having a service. You know, there's a lot of people that even if the presence of God left, business would still go on as normal. We cannot become a people that looks at his presence that way. Without him, we have nothing. Without him being present, there's no power. So we need to, I want to talk a little bit about that. I want us to think about how hungry are you for all the levels of his presence to be manifested? And a lot of us can't answer that question because we don't understand, or we probably don't understand, the degrees of him being present. And as we study the scriptures today, I want us to think about how we can learn to live and how we can learn to enlarge our capacity to present him, to show forth who he is. See, our walk with God does not consist of, I went to a congregation, to a church, and was there an hour and a half or 2 hours, whatever, and then we go home. Our life being lived is a continual life, a continual presence, a continual learning, a continual release of who he is, even when things are going bad, even when things are not well. He wants us to continue to show and bring forth his aroma, his presence in such a way that people take notice that you're different. Even with all the things that are going on, you're not reacting, you're responding. We cannot afford to react to darkness any longer. Our reaction doesn't help. Our response, as he responds, does. Does that make sense? We can get all hot and bothered and hot under the collar and just don't like the way this is and don't like the way that is. And we can react in a way that is not fruitful for the kingdom. But he wants us to respond because of his presence. See, he said, you are the light of the world. And he's sending us out as sheep among wolves, and we get all bothered when we hear them coming after us. And they're howling. That's right. They're howling, and we're like, oh, man, I can't move. What am I doing? No, he said, no, I sent you. We don't react to the darkness. We respond with his presence. Isn't that what he said? He said, in the presence of mine enemies, what did he do? He prepared a table before me in the presence of all my enemies. Now, what he's saying is, yeah, you got enemies. Yeah, you got people that hate you. Jesus said, all nations will hate you. And that did not leave out America. All nations will hate you because of my name. Who put this here? Because of my name, they'll hate you. That's being done in this nation. Right? So we need to discuss his presence. We need to be able to understand and have a fresher revelation of him. Are we saying something? You are here. Pastor Charlie knew nothing about the message today, and I know we sang two or three songs about his presence. And so he knew nothing, and it's the Holy Spirit. That's part of his presence. Stand to your feet. I haven't asked you to do that yet. Oh, the glory. We, your temple, give you reverence. So arise to your rest and be blessed by our praise as we glory. As your presence now fill this. Sing it with passion that's burning inside you. Sing it. Oh, the glory. He's worth it. Oh, let your lungs be filled with the air that he gives you. Give him the reverence that he deserves. Now rise, O Lord. So arise to your rest and be blessed by our praise as we glory in your embrace. As your presence now fills this. Turn to someone and say, be flooded with his presence today. Amen. When we become faithful to his presence and what he's given us, we'll see the tension that comes. One tension is that he truly has given us his presence in a way that we're not used to, and the other tension is that we actually are the people who limit the measure that we experience. We are the ones that limit the measure of his presence that we experience. So that's the tension. It's the biggest treasure. It's the most awesome treasure that we have. But yet, we have the conflict of recognizing it or being aware of it so many times. So hopefully today we'll be able to move beyond. How many of you really want to move beyond where you currently are? Now, did anybody not raise their hand? Did anybody not raise their hand? Oh, so you already there, brother? Oh, you're raising both hands. I got you. I'm raising both hands and a foot. I want to move beyond where I currently am, even though we're maturing and we're growing in his presence and we're growing in the word. We're not there yet, church. We're not there yet, beloved. You know, and the reason we're not is because a lot of times we haven't seen beyond where we are. And he wants to open our eyes in a way that we'll be able to see the unseen and recognize him. But see, when we see the unseen, you have to have faith to enter into it. Seeing the unseen, you have to have faith to enter into it. This thing of his presence, we'll look at. I've got pages and pages, and I've got 15 minutes, so we're looking at something here. But as we look at Exodus 33, God has delivered the people from Israel, from Egypt, and you know the story. Moses goes up on a mountain and he doesn't come back for 40 days, and the people get a little bit, they forgot about the presence of God. And they desired a presence so much that they wanted to make their own. Do you know churches can do that? We're not really in touch sometimes with the genuine presence of God, so we create our own and worship what we've created. So they out came the calf, you know the story of all of that, and then God sees it. And God begins to tell him over in Exodus, tell Moses over in Exodus, he said, I'm going to send an angel with you to the promised land. And this angel is in verse 2, and the angel will take care of all your enemies. He'll defeat all the enemies. Now, I think that's a pretty good deal. When I think in my reason, I think that's a real good deal. God's going to send an angel before me, and he's going to defeat all the enemies that I encounter. Pretty good deal, right? Wasn't good enough. Wasn't good enough for Moses. He actually said, if your presence does not go with us, don't send us anywhere. We don't want to go. Did you hear that? He was just told by God, I'm sending an angel and he's going to defeat your enemies. Boy, I would want that. Until I think a little deeper, like Moses was thinking, and he says, now you really have to be confident in God to understand him saying, nope, and it be okay. You know, the Bible says about God talking to Moses in earlier chapters, God talking to Moses, he said, he spoke with Moses as a friend would speak to a friend. Well, that's powerful. As a friend would speak to a friend. That was face to face. There's no Hebrew word for presence. So they use face to face in his presence, in the presence of God. So he decides and understands, because they've experienced some of the presence, right? They experienced presence of God when all the miracles were happening to get Pharaoh to understand, you got to let them go. How about when the waters parted? Was that the presence of God? Absolutely. Moses didn't do it. Moses couldn't do it. So you and I are faced with impossible tasks that cannot be done outside of his presence. But yet we sometimes take his presence so much for granted and take it so lightly. And sometimes don't understand that it's God doing it. So he said, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us. We're going to stay right here. Then he goes on and says, if you don't go with us, how will we be distinguished amongst the people? We'll be just like Aaron. How do they know that we've got your favor? How will they see when they look at us? How will they know that the favor of God is on us and your presence is? If you don't go with us, we're going to be just like everybody else. See, our lives should be distinguishly marked by the presence of God. Is that true? And people will say, well, I don't want to be religious. I don't want you to be religious either. I just want us to acknowledge his presence. So, because if you don't go with us, They won't know that we have your favor, and we'll look like everybody else. How much today is the church looking like everybody else? Being comfortable with the fact that he's everywhere and he's in me. That's the reason I'm asking the Lord to stir our hearts, to stir this congregation, including your pastor and your leadership, that if his presence is not in what we're doing, let's do something else. If his presence is not activating us to go and to do whatever it is that he wants, then let's wait until he shows us. Let's say like Moses, I don't think I'm going, Lord, unless I know that this is you. This is your presence, and this is you're in this thing. Oh, the presence of your glory. We need to be like Moses. See, the first thing that comes by is not always God. I found myself somewhere I wasn't supposed to be and thought it was God. And I'm saying, God, I don't understand this. Why? I just really don't understand. Can you help me? I can help you. I never told you to do that. Man told you to do that. Your denomination told you to do that. You got a choice to make, son. You're either going to follow that denomination, or you're going to follow me. His presence. But as we look at these things together, is this working? You know, without his presence, you know when that started? It started in the garden. It started in the garden. They was walking with God. They were walking with God, communing with God, fellowshipping with God, and God with them. Until they entered into the realm of darkness. The Bible says that God came in the cool of the day and was looking for Adam. He knew where he was, but he wanted Adam to acknowledge where he was. Where are you? We heard you coming, and we went and hid ourselves. See, the fall was the falling from the presence of God and falling into self-consciousness. They lost a God consciousness of fellowship, and they entered into being conscious of self. Why do we know that? They sewed fig leaves around them, said was naked. He said, who told you? Have you eaten? He asked them two questions. Who told you have you eaten? And they had to leave his presence. Do you know we can make decisions that causes us to leave the presence of God? Now, you're going to understand more of this when we get. I got 5 minutes. Don't waste time. Keep going. Increasing awareness of his presence. Let's see where are we at here. I'm not even on. No wonder it's not moving. I thought that was no. I read it upside down. I'm sorry. Is it? Well, in Jesus' name. Y'all say it. All right. Thank you. The omnipresence of God. The Bible says in Psalm 139, it says, where can I go from thy spirit? Or where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, that's hell. Behold, thou art there. He said, even if I make my bed in hell, your presence is there. You have to think about that. Omnipresence. God is where? God's everywhere. Right? Yes? Yes. Omnipresent. He's everywhere. No matter where you go, he's everywhere. That's God's presence. Yes, we sort of understand that one. So we have an indwelling presence. So do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? So there's an indwelling of his presence. And it tells us that we are from God, and God is in us when we're born again. Having the new birth, we're born again. His Holy Spirit, his presence, comes and abides within us. We sort of know that. You know, but that's the two that usually the church is stuck on, or the people of God is stuck on. But there's so many more that as we get into this, we'll see that we're not our own. He's bought us, and we belong to him, and his presence is in us. And his presence is not only in us, his presence is everywhere. Right? Then we look at the next one. Then we have a manifest presence. And it came about that Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the sons of Israel, and they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. They had a cloud, and they had a fire, a pillar of fire. That was a manifest presence. Now let me ask you something. Does he manifest his presence today? Can you see people being delivered? Can you see people being born? Can you see people? You actually see people get healed? But see, here's the thing about it. If you want to limit him on that, at that measure of what you see, you can. So he wants us to see and accept all everything about his presence we need. Is that true? So you begin to see that he's at work in our lives, and he manifests his presence. And we need to, you know, Moses, that's what Moses said. Moses said this. This is my interpretation of what he said. I would rather live in the wilderness with your presence than go to the promised land without it. I'd rather live in the wilderness with your presence than live in the promised land without your presence. Don't you like the manifest presence of God? All of a sudden, you know, have you ever asked God for something and what's the next thing you know? Did y'all hear that? What's the next thing you know? Oh, Jed's a millionaire. Come and listen to my story. See, the thing about his presence is his presence will get there. But you see, as Bible says, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. You know what you just experienced? Joy. Well, I thought it was an interruption. That's because you didn't recognize the presence of God. Now listen. All right, now, I set him up. He did that. How many years ago? Probably 20 years ago, I said that, and he said that, and it, I'm like, man, that ain't what I was talking about. So I set him up today. He didn't know I was going to set him up. But see, in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. So when you begin to have joy, you need to understand that's a manifested presence of God happening so people can see. That's a manifest presence of God. Y'all with me? So he comes as a cloud. God dwells in the assembly of the believers. Watch this. So in the assembly, God dwells here. He's everywhere, but there's a certain dwelling that he does outside of he's everywhere. And this is it. This is one of them. It said, in the mouth of where two or three witnesses have gathered together in my name. Are you here in his name? Okay, watch this. There I am in their midst. You know what that means? I'm right in the middle of what you're doing, and I'm between you and the next person you're beside. I'm between you and Miss B. That's what he says. And that's the way it needs to be. Because Jonathan told David, only the Lord be between us. Yeah. Nothing else. No aughts, no offenses, no anger. No, only the Lord be between us. That's in our midst. Are y'all hearing me? He said, so if you're coming, listen, it's one of the hardest things that you, matter of fact, it's impossible with us. It's impossible with us to be able to say, I'm here in the name of the Lord, but I did not care one bit for him. I don't like the way he looks. I don't like the way he acts. I don't like, now I've got all this stuff between me and him. He might not know it, but I'm carrying it. He said, I'll be in your midst if you're in my name. If you're gathered together in my name. In other words, that in my name means, hey, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm here to do what you want me to do. I'm here to honor you, to worship you, to learn from you. Do you know manifest presence of God is when the word comes forth? Do y'all know that a manifest presence of God is when the word comes forth? I'm going to go to this other side. And they're ready. I can tell they're ready. Do you know the presence of God is when the word comes forth? Yeah. Well, I like that response. I'm going to give y'all another chance. Do y'all know? Yeah. Yeah. I'm messing with you. See, when the word comes forth, that's the manifest presence of God. You know what Jonah did? The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Said, I want you to go to Nineveh. They've got a lot of bad things going on, and I'm sending you there. What'd Jonah do? He said, and the Bible said, and Jonah went to Tarshish and fled the presence of God. What was the presence of God? The word that came. The manifest presence of God was the word that was coming. And he fled from the presence of God when he fled from the word. So anytime we hear the word and God goes deep inside us, and he said, and we flee from that word, you know what we're fleeing from? The presence of God. See, we're limiting the measure of what we experience. Presence comes from his word as Jonah. I'm all over the place on that, on PowerPoint. Y'all are doing a great job. You really are. That's probably number 7 or 8, and I'm about for presence of God. The word that Jonah rose up in Tarshish, he fled from the presence of the Lord. The inviting presence. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Here's a presence of God that invites you to come. But God, you don't know what I've done. He said, come on. Why? It's the blood of Jesus that paved the way for you and I to enter with confidence and boldness. Because he said, right there is the throne of grace, his presence. He invites you, come on. No, I just messed up real bad. Come on. What the church teaches, well, not really teaches in such a way, when we teach it by law, when law is taught instead of grace, you start running away from the presence of God and trying to fix it yourself, get cleaned up, and then you can go to God. Don't work that way. I'm gonna fix it myself. I'm gonna do the things I need to fix, and then I can go to God. He said, no, come on. I know you messed up. Come on, run to it. Come bolt to run. Be quick. Be quick. Come on. Why? Because he said, I want you to enter into my presence. It's an invitation. Enter into my presence, because I'll give you grace in your time of need, and I'll help you. I'm not angry with you. We sang that song, oh, he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. If grace is an ocean, I'm sinking. We're all sinking. Dan said we're going down for the third time. Why? Because grace is overwhelming. But see, the enemy whispers that you can't go to God looking like that. You can't go to God after what you just said. You can't go to God after you just treated that person that way. That's when you can go to God. Why? Because he's going to infill you with his presence in a way that empowers you to go make it right. I'm telling you, the church needs some of that. To be empowered by the grace in such a way that we'll go make right what we did wrong. Oh, no, God forgave me of that. I don't have to make it right. No, you have the ministry of reconciliation. Reconcile. Everybody say reconcile. You have the ministry of reconciliation. It means you go back and make right what's been done wrong. I remember my first experience of that when I was little, before my father died. He died when I was 8 years old. I stole my grandpa's pipe. It looked cool to me. Real pretty, hanging out of your mouth and looked grown up. So I tucked it in my pocket when he wasn't looking. When I got home and things got to normal in life, and all of a sudden I pulled out of my blue jeans dungarees, and there's my daddy's pipe. And my grandpa's pipe. And my daddy said, son, where'd you get that? I just stole, and now I'm going to lie. I just found it. Where'd you find it? In my pocket. See, I was a conniver then. In my pocket. I found it in my pocket. He said, well, you go ahead and put it back in your pocket, and we're going to make a little trip. I said, where are we going? I ain't got a clue. We're going back to Grandpa's. He said, we're going to go to your grandpa's, and you're going to give him his pipe back, and you're going to say you're sorry for stealing his pipe. Well, can't I just smoke it a little bit before? No, I didn't say that. So I did, because I remember, it's vivid. I don't have many memories of my father, but he's holding, he held my hand all the way down that little dirt trail. He held my hand. He didn't kick me. He didn't push me. He said, get up. He held my hand as we went down to make it right. Went in there, and I said, I gave it to him. I said, I'm sorry for taking your pipe. And my daddy said, that ain't what I told you to say. I said, what'd you tell me to say? Say, I'm sorry for stealing your pipe. You didn't just take it. You stole it. Ah, reconciliation. I finally said it. And guess what? Here's another passage. Repent and turn. Why? Well, forgiveness of sins, naturally, if you're not born again. Then it says, because the times of refreshing are in the presence of God. See, when we're able to turn from going in this wrong direction and we about face and go in the direction of God, God says, in the presence of the Lord, there's times of refreshing. My soul got to be refreshed because I made it right. Well, Fullness of joy, we talked about that one. That's in Psalm 16:11. Presence comes with his word. We talked about that one. The protecting presence of God. Thou dost, watch this. Thou dost hide. I tell you what, read this together. Thou dost hide. You know what that says? It is in his presence. It is in the presence that you are aware of. See, they were aware of it when they wrote it. It's in the presence of God that the men that are conspiring against you, what does it say? God will hide you from the conspiracies of man that's against you. And in his presence, it also says that the Lord will keep you secretly in the shelter from the strife that is on their tongues. I don't need that presence. Yeah, yes, we do. So next time strife or conspiracy comes or somebody's planning against you, guess what you need to think about? I'm hidden. I'm tucked away in the secret place, his presence. Let the dogs keep yapping. I'm in the secret place. Why? I'm in his presence. See, when you begin to focus on his presence, when strife and conspiracies come, he says, I'll hide you. But when we don't recognize that, we limit God. Okay, healing presence. There's a healing presence of God, and we'll close. Are you amening on the close? Are you amening on the next thing? Are you amen? Amen, brother, about time. No. Where is it at? I wrote it on the last page because I added it this morning. The healing presence over in Luke 5:17. The power of the Lord was present for him to proclaim or perform healing. Luke 5:17. The power of the Lord was present for him, Jesus, to perform healing. If you do not recognize the healing presence of God, he's doing the healing, not you, not me. We're just obedient to his presence. The other one is Malachi 4:2. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. The Son of Righteousness will rise, the presence of God. Why? With healing in his wings. And you will go forth and skip about like a calf from a stall. Just frolicking around. Why? The healing presence of God came. How many of you have been healed? I want you to raise your hand. God has healed you. I want you to stand to your feet. God's healed me. Let it be a living testimony of God's healing. You know, somebody said, God's healing's not for today. You don't need healing today until you're sick. And when you get sick or something's wrong, then you want healing. Now everyone else stand up. Oh, you are standing up. Okay. Church, we really need to create that hunger to experience the fullness of his presence. Not just he's everywhere and he's also in me, but to see the fullness of his presence in ways that it's manifested and that it has come forth. You ever went to the mailbox and got money that you never was expecting? You know what I call that? The presence of God. Why? Well, you know, the IRS sent me this money. The presence of God. Thank you, Lord, for not letting them keep it. His presence. Grab the hand next to you. Father, I just ask you in Jesus' name that I was asking you before to stir this house, stir up your people. Stir us up in ways that we'll have eyes to see and ears to hear. And to enter in more of your presence when it appears, and to acknowledge that you're here. If your presence does not go with us, we don't want to go. So help us embrace and enlarge the capacity to carry who you are in this earth. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. 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 If you do, yep. Thank you, Lord. Hold it. Is there anyone here you do not have the indwelling presence of God? I want to meet you down here. If you're not born again and you want the Spirit of God inside you, you're ready to say yes and amen to that, meet me down here. You're at liberty to go. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.